Okay, boys, let's go, let's go. Take out your nubby. I want to cover a lot of ground today, right before lunch. Let's go. I want to cover a lot of ground.
Okay, Rebbe. I'm ready. What are we going to cover the ground with? Carpet? Tiles or paint?
I see ya. So you're still in the Purim spirit, huh?
Yup, I sure am. After all, it's still Adar.
You're right. But nonetheless, we must get serious now. Everyone, open up your Shmuel Aleph and turn to Perik Chof Ches, Pasuk Aleph. Is everyone ready? Are you ready?
Yes, got it already.
I think so.
That's it?
Yeah. Oh, here it is.
Okay, Kindle, okay, let's go, let's go, let's go. Hurry, hurry, hurry. What are you waiting for?
Got it.
What is that stuff in your knapsack over there?
My sandwich is stuck.
Are you ready?
Oh, never mind. It's all right. Okay, I got it.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, fine. Now you're all ready?
I think.
Okay, Kindle, before we begin this perek, let's refresh a bit. We're going to talk about King Achash, the Pelishtim king, who is fooled by David HaMelech, who is seeking refuge by him from Shaul HaMelech. Why? Because Shaul HaMelech, as you remember, was busy trying to hunt down and kill David because he was upset that his son Yonasan will not become the king after him. Yes, Shmuley?
But Rabbi, I don't understand. If Shaul HaMelech was a big tzaddik, then how could he get upset to the point of wanting to kill David?
An excellent question, Shmuley. The answer is that Shaul HaMelech's sin of not listening to Shmuel HaNavi and not admitting that he made a mistake caused the kingdom to be taken away from him and his family and his shevet to be given over to a better person. And of course, we know that that person turned out to be David HaMelech. Hashem's Holy Spirit left Shaul and went to David. A sad, gloomy, and miserable feeling overcame Shaul in its place. However, Shaul, being a tzaddik, was able to conquer his feelings being brought on by the Yetzer Hara. Shaul justified his actions against David because in his eyes, David was a Moirid b'Malchus.
Rebbe...
Yes?
Could you please tell us again what it was that Shaul HaMelech was commanded to do?
Shmuel HaNavi told him that Hashem said that as a punishment for what Amalek did to the Bnei Yisrael when they came out of Mitzrayim, he should kill and wipe out all the Amalekim and not leave over a single one alive, including all their animals.
Didn't he do that?
Well, kind of yes and no.
What? How could it be yes and no at the same time?
Aha, okay. I see we have to do a little chazara. I think we need to review from...
Oh, Rebbe, I remember. He left one Amaleki alive, Agag, you know, their king.
Uh-huh, I see, and?
And he also left some animals alive to bring us carbonis.
Uh-huh.
Which, of course, was a no-no.
Yes.
And because those would not be carbonos that Hashem would want, you know, Hashem would rather have that Shaul obey his every word. That would have been much better.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Now it's coming back to me. Because Agag was left alive for one night, he was able to use a form of kishif, a type of black magic that was known at that time. He used it to turn a slave girl that he took to be one of his wives into an animal. And since she appeared as an animal to everyone else's eyes, she was able to escape. And later, when she had a baby, the Amaleki line was able to continue. So Haman HaRasha was born, and he was a very big Rasha.
The rest is history, as they say. I'm sure that everyone here remembers ganz fine the story of Purim. So let's get back on track. So, King Achash and all the Pelishtim princes agreed that the time was right to make a major attack on the Bnei Yisrael. They felt that since Shmuel HaNavi passed away, his schus, his merit, will no longer protect them. Hashem caused the princes not to fully trust David. They had Achash send David away from the battlefield. Now, boys, Let's look inside. Pasuk Aleph. Vayehi bayimimohem. And it was in those days.
Excuse me, Rabbi.
Yes, Yossi?
Can you please tell us the story of this parak before we do it inside to make it easier for us to learn?
What's that, Yossi?
Can you please tell us the story of this parak before we do it inside to make it easier for us to learn?
Yes. I'm sorry. I got a little distracted by that question that was asked. Now, before I begin the story about these pesukim, I want you to know that there are many peshotim and differences of opinions. For example, the range of when Shmuel HaNavi was nifter is between 4 to 6 months before Shaul HaMelech. I will try to, like, put all the mepharshim together to form a flowing story. When we learn the pesukim inside, we will learn the differences of opinions. Also, I would just like to say that
none of us were around in those days, and we don't know what they actually looked like or sounded. So the Rebbe will dramatize the story based on how he imagines the people as they are described in Nach and his Mefarshim, the commentators. So with that said, Rebbe, what kind of a voice will you use for Shaul? The way I picture him, he was tall, so you probably will give him a heavy, deep voice, right? Rebbe, I can't wait to hear which voice you're going to use for the witch.
Well, I'll tell you what, boys. If you will quiet down and let me start the story, you'll all find out soon enough which voices I will use. It was a quiet day. Sitting upon his throne was Shaul HaMelech. Thinking about how quiet it was and that there was peace all around. How did Shaul HaMelech bring about this peace and tranquility? The answer we are taught is that with Hashem's help, Shaul was always victorious whenever he went out to do battle against the enemies of the Bnei Yisrael. As a result of all the victories, there now seemed to be a moment in time where the Jews were indeed living in peace and tranquility. Sad to say, that moment of peace was about to end. When suddenly, one of the king's trusted servants came running in